curriculums,
fees,
teacher turnover,
adult education.
This is Education Matters on Drive Live.
That's right, it's our weekly delve into the world of education, and today we're talking about university and how ready most students are for their first foray into the great wide world. This comes after new research that claims millennials aren't ready for the reality of college life, well, at all, with many arriving suffering from panic attacks and anxiety problems. To talk us through this point, we've got two guests in the studio with us this afternoon. Ross Addison is counsellor and child and adolescent expert at Lighthouse Arabia. Welcome to you, Ross.
Thank you very much.
And Victoria Calder, educational consultant at Bonus McFarlane Education. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you.
If I can start with you, Ross.
Sure.
When you read research like this, my first thought is, are people getting less prepared or are we worrying about it more? Because I don't remember being prepared at all when I went to university. But it does seem like there's a lot of reports, a lot of studies around at the moment that raise this concern that young people are sort of setting off and they just don't know the basics of even looking after themselves.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure, I don't think a great deal has changed over the years. I think we're probably much better at doing studies and asking people and actually polling them kind of what's going on and how worried they're feeling. I guess my experience coming and being in Dubai with the young people that I work with up to the age of 18, I'm quite worried about them going to university, I have to say.
And
maybe
why?
Maybe that's because I'm their therapist. And maybe that's because we form some, you know, like a strong attachment whilst we're working together. But I worry that they can't really cook or clean or wash or do much at all. Like a lot of them, it's been a bit of a joke that I've been with them when we've been talking that they can't really boil an egg or fry an egg. You know,
could you do that though?
Yeah,
when you were that young? Okay, fair enough.
I definitely could, but I do think that's part of being in Dubai as well.
True.
I think here we very much get used to having nannies and having maids and ordering takeouts.
So most grown-ups can't boil an egg either here.
Well, you know what? I don't know many people that cook. That's for sure. I think a lot of my friends, I don't think they cook a great deal either.
Because that's something that we were talking about earlier as well, you and I, Claire. You know, is it just these kids can't do it, or is it also their parents who are also not doing it as well and not, they don't have that as well? Because as you're saying, we live in Dubai, we have a maid or a nanny or somebody who takes care of everything, you know, usually also does the cooking. And so the parents are really not doing that anymore like they used to. And so this is kind of trickling down to the kids. Is this part of what's going on?
Completely. I would say probably 100%. I think those parents probably can cook. They just choose not to.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier not to. I think it's so easy now to get a takeout. When I was back in the UK a few months ago, I tried to use Zomato. It doesn't work. You know, we don't have it. It's not activated there. And the choices of takeaway was pizza or kebab. You know, that was it. So I think back home, we do a lot more cooking. I know in the UK, in our family when we was growing up, definitely. When I was 14, I was cooking breakfast. I was making lunch.
We were just naturally more self-sufficient, you feel, then?
Well, I think so. I don't know. Maybe we didn't have as much money when I was growing up, that we didn't have that expendable income to be able to have a maid or a nanny. Mm. So a lot of it was done at home, and I would always kind of help mum in the kitchen with the cooking and the chopping the vegetables. It was just part of life that I remember.
Victoria, let's bring you in here, because we were sort of touched on one point here, the eating aspect. And we will get to that a bit more later, because we're going to have a student on who's just finished his first year at Edinburgh University. And I know that he's got some interesting points on how he managed to look after himself in terms of nutrition. But it's more than that, Victoria, isn't it? There's more than that we should be, A, worrying about, and B, preparing our kids for.
Yeah, I think while the life skills that students need to go into university, especially to reduce the anxiety around that transition, are undeniable, there are also a number of academic skills that they should work on before they go. And I think the most important thing to remember is that the preparation for university starts early, and it's not just the year or two leading up to it. So these academic skills can be built up at the primary, secondary, and into university years as well.
It's interesting that you say that, because, you know, we're having this show now because we're thinking it's good to get people prepared.
I said to Sally, are we a bit early with this?
you said that to me last week, and I was like, well, actually, it's good to give people a heads up as to what to expect. But, you know, we are now almost in August.
kids are getting their results for university. They're figuring out which university to pick, where they've gotten acceptance. And they're probably only now thinking about how they're going to handle what's out in the real world. And the research that we were looking at, it's really interesting. It's from the Higher Education Policy Institute. And so a lot of the things that they were looking at were in terms of many different aspects, you know, but in terms of finance, a lot of kids are underestimated. They don't know. They said that they felt like that they were financially savvy, but they didn't know how to pay a bill. They were grossly underestimating the costs of rent. You know, these are all things. But you're saying, Victoria, that we should be starting a lot earlier. How early should we be starting? And what kind of skills should we be looking at?
I mean, I think there are a number of academic and life skills that students should work on. So starting quite early, building up things like study skills. None of these skills that we're talking about are one size fits all, and they very much require a collaborative process between educators, parents, and the students themselves. So finding things like what revision technique works best for each student, there's a huge range of techniques that you can use. Some students work best with just the basic flashcards. When I was in school, I actually preferred a system where you had a two-column notebook, where on the right side, I would jot down notes as fast as possible during the lectures, and then on the left-hand side, whenever I got home from school, I would actually put the writing into my own words. All of these skills can be built up quite early, and I think that the earlier that you start them, the better. I work with a number of my students on this at Bonus McFarlane, just making sure that they have these academic skills to where they feel well prepared no matter what transition they're making, but especially the transition to university.
So Victoria's going to look after the academic skills, Ross, okay? She's going to prepare them that way. What are you going to do? Show them how to wash up? I mean, how are we preparing our kids for life away from the academic side of university? Because it is way more than the academic side, isn't it? You want your child to get more out of university than just their studies.
Of course, but I think we put too much pressure on young people nowadays anyway. I think at 18 years old, you don't need to know everything about life. You know, university is meant to be that eye-opening experience for you. I think if you don't know how to pay a bill at 18, it's all right. Maybe you haven't had to so far. Lucky you. You know, I think once you get to university, then, you know, you're probably going to get a part-time job, which you might not have had in Dubai, because as I understand, it's quite hard to get a paid job here, you know, under the age of 18.
Can be, yes.
And
I think that's changing now as well, which is a really good thing.
I think so. That's going to definitely prepare people much better.
I mean, I think Ross touched on a point there, which I know you were talking about earlier, Sally, because of something you'd read today, if you can just run us through it, about isn't it good to be thrown in the deep end? I mean, look at me, learning on the job to drive this desk to keep us on air. You know,
well,
just put the fear factor in people and they'll learn how to pay a bill, right?
You know, I think it's part of it, isn't it, that we are afraid of making mistakes and we're afraid that our children are going to make mistakes and that, you know, oh, there'll be some kind of a catastrophe. But really, you know, everybody needs to make their own mistakes, don't they?
I think so, 100%. I think it's fine to make
mistakes.
Best
way to learn.
It is, and I think it's normal, a normal part of growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of times when I meet kids and young people where if they've not failed an exam, that anxiety, every exam period they do for the next academic year grows because there's that greater fear that they're gonna fail or disappoint their parents. So I think it's fine.
We'll drill more into that topic for sure. Anthony has messaged in and said, I have lived in Dubai for 13 years. I've got 3 children. I've never had a home food delivery. It's pretty lazy when you have a fridge. Well, Anthony, I think you might be alone. Good for you, but I think you might be alone there.
Yeah.
Plenty more to come on this topic. We've got Ross Addison from the Lighthouse Arabia in the studio, and Victoria Calder from Bonus McFarlane Education. We'll also be hearing from 2 students, those millennials that the report talked about, on what they think of this research and how they felt when they went off to university.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's Drive Live and it's Education Matters.
Curriculums.
Fees.
Teacher turnover.
Adult education.
This is Education Matters on Drive Live.
We've got 2 guests in the studio with us this evening, Ross Addison from Lighthouse Arabia and Victoria Calder from Bonus McFarlane Education. And we've been talking about how ready students are when they go off to university after some research said that millennials aren't ready for the reality of college life. Well, at all, and have been suffering panic attacks and anxiety problems. We were discussing, Sally, before the break there, whether sometimes you can over-prepare people, and actually it's quite good to go not really knowing what to expect and learning when you're thrown in the deep end. And something caught your eye over the weekend that kind of backed this up.
Yeah, this actually went viral last week. So this was a commencement address. Of course, you know, when you've got graduating students, traditional to have a guest give the commencement address. In the United States, it was Chief Justice John Roberts who gave the commencement speech at his son's graduation. And his advice was kind of unexpected. This is part of his speech now. He said, "Now the commencement speakers will typically also wish you good luck and extend good wishes to you. I will not do that, and I'll tell you why. From time to time in the years to come, I hope you will be treated unfairly so that you will come to know the value of justice. I hope that you will suffer betrayal because that will teach you the importance of loyalty. And sorry to say, but I hope you will be lonely from time to time so that you don't take friends for granted. I wish you bad luck again from time to time so that you will be conscious of the role of chance in life and understand that your success is not completely deserved and that the failure of others is not completely deserved either. And when you lose, as you will from time to time, I hope every now and then your opponent will gloat over your failure. It is a way for you to understand the importance of sportsmanship. I hope you'll be ignored so you know the importance of listening to others, and I hope you will have just enough pain to learn compassion. And whether I wish these things or not, they're going to happen. And whether you benefit from them or not will depend upon your ability to see the message in your misfortunes."
Pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So he doesn't mince his words there, Ross. Do you agree with him?
I think he's quite brutal. Actually, it sounds.
I'm like, come on, let's prepare them. Let's not scare them.
He's not wrong in many ways. He's really right. And I think actually what he's trying to do is just normalise life a little bit to kind of set them up for the things that are going to happen.
But why can't we do that? Why? I mean, I don't know. It feels like a new phenomenon for parents now, you know, particularly in my generation as well. You know, the helicopter parenting where, oh, you know, you don't want little Johnny to fall over or, you know, scrape his knee or, you know, there are people who say kids are just getting medals for coming last these days. What's the point?
Well, I don't really think we want kids. We don't want our kids to fall down. We don't want them to make mistakes. We don't want them to feel hurt. And I think it's every parent's kind of, they feel it's their duty to want to do the best for them. It's just sometimes that best just keeps them a little bit too wrapped up in cotton wool, a little bit too nurtured.
Do you think that's what's happened with this research, Ross, that we sort of kicked the show off with? You know, some very real stats on the number of young people suffering from mental health issues once they get to university and they find they can't cope. And not only that, how they are then dealing with and talking about those issues. Is that something that we, you know, mustn't sweep under the carpet? It is a very real problem for a lot of young people when they go off to university.
It is. And this was a big study. I think it had 2,100 people was the sample size. So it was quite big. I don't think it's particularly new or groundbreaking research. I think there's always been anxiety, there's always been depression, there's always been other mental health problems. We've just got much, much better at identifying it. The resources that go into unis to having in-house counselors is much greater. And I think universities are doing a lot more to support those kids. So I think that's obviously really good news. But I think there's a lot of kids and young people that are going to university with like a mental health diagnosis of depression or something similar like this, it's quite risky. Maybe they're on medication as well and they're not informing the university. Of course, it's their choice. You know, it's up to them. They're an adult. They can disclose it or not disclose it if they want to. And I think if anyone is going to university with a risky kind of challenging condition, such as depression or something like that, like an eating disorder maybe, it would be good to link up with the in-house counseling team. You don't necessarily have to let the university know up front, but definitely when you get there, touch base within the first week, even so you know you've got a safety net.
Don't try to deal with it on your own, because it's already a pressured environment, even for somebody who's not suffering from those issues already, right?
It's a massive life transition, go to university. It's huge, especially coming from Dubai. You're now an international student where your family's probably elsewhere in the world. You might not have that much family around you. You've got to make new friends, deal with living on your own. You're going to feel lonely, homesick, all of these types of things, with the added pressure of having actually like a diagnosed mental health concern. It's going to make the transition much, much harder. Not impossible, and loads of people will cope with it, and they'll be able to force themselves through it, and they'll be great, and they'll succeed. But I think universities have those in-house counselors for a reason. So just use them. That's what they're there for. It's impartial. They're not going to go and tell the dean or the lecturers that you've come to see them. It's all confidential. But just definitely link up with them. That's what I would say.
Victoria, your thoughts on this. We were talking earlier about a sense of entitlement that, you know, students have these days. What kind of things are you seeing?
Well, I mean, I think going back to Chief Justice John Roberts' speech, a student shouldn't be afraid to fail. I think there is a sense that students sometimes are too coddled. And especially here in Dubai, where, like we've said, there are nannies. And, you know, I see a lot of students whose schedules are managed very, very closely. I think building a sense of autonomy in students at quite an early age is incredibly important. Now, that might mean that there are times where they fail slightly. Maybe they don't get as good of a mark on a test as they would if they were, you know, if their schedule was being managed to the minute by their parents. But actually having some autonomy to work independently and set their own schedules can really...
Yeah, this is part of it as well. Students think that they're going to be having more time in lectures at university, but actually it's the opposite, as we know. At university level, you're often doing your own study in your own time, and you have to manage it. You have to know, and you have to lead that and understand how to organize your life and yourself.
Absolutely. I think most adults think that they could manage their time a bit better, but this is still an important skill for students to learn at any age, really. You know, I mean, as you shift from primary to secondary to university, the onus becomes more and more on the student to actually manage their time properly and, you know, seek out help whenever they need it.
Some messages coming in on how people are dealing with this. Shannon says, "Ooh, this is a great topic, something we have been talking about around our dinner table over the last 2 weeks. Our youngest son is back from school in the UK. He still has some home chores and tasks that he's responsible for. Before he had to just set the dinner table. Now he's clearing the table, washing the car once a week, doing his own laundry." This is awesome, Shannon. Well done. "Cooking for himself on the weekend and making brownies for the rest of us. He used to grumble, but I'm confident that these skills of contributing to a community and being responsible and accountable for something will serve him well when he goes off to university." So that's what Shannon's doing. Christy says, "This is all just another symptom of problem parents." So I guess going back to that issue of whether parents are doing enough themselves. So Shannon, kind of backing up what you're saying there, Victoria, get them prepared for life away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think whether it's cooking or... I had a bank account when I was about 13 years old. Now, of course, you couldn't make any major transactions without my mom knowing about it. But, you know, just having that sort of autonomy can really prepare students and, again, help ease the anxiety into university.
I think Shannon touched on a really important point here, just thinking about the sense of community and contributing to something bigger than yourself as well, and working towards that. That can instill really important life skills, can it not, Ross?
It can, for sure. And I think feeling like you're a part of a community really makes you feel like you're more driven and motivated to kind of be more conscious of what's going on around you.
Your part matters,
yeah,
what you do.
Of course. And I think Shannon, it sounds like she's done a wonderful job.
Well, he's making brownies for them all at the weekend, so that's, you know, perfect parenting, isn't it?
I think we should give him a lot of the praise there.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, for him to actually want to do that stuff and to be committed to, I think that's the kind of traditional family values that really, you know,
it's great to impart, absolutely. Yeah. 4001, if you want to share your stories. Are your youngsters going off to university? Have they already gone? How are you coping? And how are they coping? Something else that was on your notes that you sent us, Victoria, was about get more sleep. And I imagine you would both have some input on this in terms of why that's important, and also how do you convince somebody who's going off to university that that's important? Because I always think probably they're getting less sleep because there's way more parties to go to.
You put this as a life skill, getting more sleep. And I think adults are really can be guilty of this too, of not getting anywhere near as much sleep
but
as they
need. But we get excited about an early night now. When you go to uni, it's like,
very
how late
true.
Can I stay up, you know?
Absolutely. I think most adults think that they could get a little bit more sleep. It's especially important for students, you know, especially when you're undergoing the rigors of university. Probably the number one one of the number one things that I see with the students that I work with, whether it be usually starts around GCSEs, gets worse when they go to A-levels or IB, is that they're just not getting enough sleep. There's a 2015 Stanford University study that links lack of sleep to inability to concentrate, poor grades, and anxiety. Really learning how to manage their own time, again, and understanding the importance of sleep will do wonders whenever it comes to getting to university, with not only their grades but their mental health.
I'm assuming you'd agree there, Ross. I mean, Victoria's mentioned anxiety there in the same sentence as lack of sleep.
Yeah, I think getting 8 hours for a young person is probably enough, especially at university, 18 years old.
But does it matter what hours, though? What if you go to bed at 3 in the morning and sleep in?
It's not how many you get necessarily, it's when you get them. Mm. So getting them in one block, you know, you want to have one block. Ideally, so 8 hours
in the night,
sleep.
Not like after like 9 a.m. or something.
No, well, sometimes the reality is they're going to, isn't it? You know, they're going to get home from a party at 6 a.m. They're going to probably sleep all weekend, you know, and that's okay. As long as they're not doing it during the week when they've got studies and they're not doing it every weekend. It's about balance. And I think if you're balanced and everything, it's fine. I think also exercise. They've got to be exercising at least 3 or 4 times a week. It's been shown to reduce anxiety and improve mood. Getting adequate diet, you know, it's not...
Which is difficult, going back to our original point, when you don't know how to cook or you're on a budget.
It is, completely. I think it's about primarily not skipping meals where you can, always having breakfast, because it's... I always say to young people that skip breakfast, it's better to have a Mars bar in the morning than nothing. It just is. You've got to get something through your body because it's been fasting for 8 hours. You can't go to school. Your concentration and attention is going to be massively affected if you skip breakfast and you just don't have any brain fuel. So you've got to have something in you. And I think, you know, I'm working with 18-year-olds at the moment and they're telling me that they're pretty much going to live on a Nutribullet. You know, this isn't a bad idea. I think parents should be getting them a Nutribullet because we don't know what resources they're going to have at these universities.
Just whiz up what you need all in one drink and brush off to class and you're good.
Especially for the morning.
Yeah.
Some fruits and vegetables. But I think it's at least it's a fallback.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we don't know. I mean, when I was at uni, we didn't have like an oven and everything you could use to actually bake stuff or cook stuff, a microwave and a stove. So it is about you're going to have limited resources and limited choices. At least if you've got something that's going to be fresh that you can have every morning, a banana, a yogurt, a little bit of orange juice.
Shannon, done. You're going about it all wrong with the brownies. It's all about the Nutribullet, says Ross. She has also texted back again, Shannon, saying, and we're not violating any child labour laws. That's good to hear, Shannon. Somebody else messaging in, Sally, saying, this is Michelle, could you please repeat the name of the person who shared those powerful words that you started this segment with?
Chief Justice John Roberts. So he is a judge in the United States.
So coming up soon, we're going to hear from two students to see whether, well, everything we've discussed means anything to them or whether they agree at all. Coming up shortly.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's Drive Live. You're with Claire and Sally this afternoon, and we've been talking about whether our millennials, as they called Sally, which I never know whether they like, it's just a term that's been coined, are ready for the reality of college life. This is after a study that showed many were arriving with panic attacks and anxiety problems. We've got Ross Addison of Lighthouse Arabia in the studio. We've also got Victoria Calder from Bonus McFarlane Education. We've all been discussing whether we think they're ready, and now we've got some students to hear from. And we're going to start, Sally, with Lucy Downer, who's a student you interviewed earlier on. She's at Emory University in the United States. Yeah. Tell us about her.
So she just finished her IB class of 2016, and so as you just said, she just finished her first year at Emory University in the United States. She is quite a student, you know, quite an exemplary student, because she was a Sheikh Fatima scholar at DAA here in Dubai. I asked her a few questions, you know, asking whether she thinks that young people are generally ready for university and real life.
I think that students who grew up with their parents doing a lot of their own things and not really having that independence or given the opportunities to sort of learn at home when your parents are there and can help you and assist you when you need, I think those are the students that are a little bit unsure of what they're doing in university and a little bit shocked about what real life is like.
Yeah, I asked her as well whether she got to university and thought, oh my goodness, there is so much I don't know.
think whether or not a student is ready for university is dependent on their upbringing and how their parents raised them. Because personally, my parents had the mentality that if we could do it ourselves, we should. And so I grew up very independent, and there's a lot of things that I was doing myself, even when I was living at home, like booking doctor's appointments myself and going there alone. And so I feel like for myself, I didn't have that much of a shock because I kind of knew some of the basics, and I was paying my own bills in university. So I was aware of how much things were costing and how much I would have for the week and stuff like that.
And as well, the last question that I asked her was what she thought the most important quality is to have as you enter real life and university.
I think regardless of how prepared you are for university, there's always a learning curve. There's always things that are going to be different to what you expected, and you just have to be able to adapt well. I think that's a really important quality to have in university, because things are going to be different, and you're not going to have your parents there or the same support system. So I think it's important that you're able to adapt to the changing factors in your life.
Thanks to Lucy Downer there, who's a student at Emory University in the US. Well, in the studio with us now is Saheb Ashraf. Good evening to you, Saheb.
Hi,
welcome.
Evening. Thank you.
You've just completed your first year at Edinburgh University,
yes.
Right? How have you found it?
I mean, when I first came in, I thought it was just like, you know, it's just the opposite. I wasn't really worried. I mean, I took a gap year as soon as I finished my A-levels. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I mean, when I landed in Edinburgh, I didn't have those issues. And I think one of the factors was that what I had a job as an, you know, assistant HR. I had to hire, I had to find CVs, I had to bring them in. I was responsible for everything. So all these responsibilities, I think, kind of like, you know, I kind of got used to it, and then, like, you know, built character in me. So by the time that, even, you know, the when I my visa first time was rejected, I actually missed 2 weeks of uni. And still, when I came in, it was fine. I mean, there were also other factors that, you know, thank God I had, like, a family that had, you know, picked me up from the airport and helped me. But when I got to, like, you know, Edinburgh, everything I'd missed off, but still, I just think that, like, I still had that mentality of, like, you know, yes, I can do it myself. I can open a bank account. I can catch up with everything. I can, you know, talk to people and stuff. So, yeah, it was...
So you felt quite prepared. And
yeah.
To be honest, that's kind of what Lucy said as well, Sally, to you. So what do you make of this study that we've been discussing today about the fact that a lot of students, a lot of people your age are not quite ready for it? Do you think that's true? Do you think you were just well prepared because of the gap year you'd had? Was your situation different to other people who you came across?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the gap year really helped me. I mean, I would definitely recommend people, if you could take a gap year, just take it. I mean, even if it's for a few months, you know, go to a job, look at, because that's where real life is. And once you get that sense of responsibility, like, it really, really, really helps you in uni. And I do personally think I had that advantage over some students.
Saheb, do you think a part of it is attitude? Like you're saying, you know, you'd already missed 2 weeks, but you just had the attitude, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to catch up, it's going to be fine, and you just went in there. You had the right attitude to tackle it all.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit scared. I mean, like I said, I have been born and raised in Dubai. I did my schooling here, but then I do think it was the sense of attitude. I mean, I came in saying, you know what, there might be some bad things that happen. It is a new country, but then, like, you know, I have experience and stuff. I have sense of responsibility, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And if, you know, best, you know, it will be okay eventually.
It's a great relaxed attitude, but yeah. I am going to put you on the spot now, because you did tell me that one thing you weren't ready for was food.
Yes.
I mean, tell me what you ate for that whole first term.
Okay, so that's where my optimism, unfortunately, was not as high. For the first semester, it was, if I was to be honest, breakfast, lunch and dinner salami sandwiches, just with a change of sauces. It would either be like garlic sauce or barbecue sauce, but breakfast, lunch and dinner, unfortunately, for the first semester was just salami sandwiches.
What well changed done. For the second semester?
Second
You're like,
semester,
I have to
yeah.
learn now.
See, my parents weren't the happiest of people when I did inform them, and that was when I actually came back from Christmas. I didn't really tell them beforehand. So they got a little bit worried, and then I did promise them that wouldn't happen again. Unfortunately, I did not learn to cook as much as I should have. So when I did get back, I did learn to make biryani, kind of, but then it was still baked beans and for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Baked beans. I mean,
brilliant.
Ross, Victoria, baked beans, a staple of all good student diets, right?
It is. It's high in protein, so it's really good for you. And it's not unusual at all. I think, look, Saheb, it sounds like you went into it with a really good mindset. And I think it's fine that you did not know how to cook. It's normal. At 18, 19, I know you took a gap year. But I just think it's not something we should get too wrapped up on.
Well, Sahib definitely wasn't too worried about it. He's very relaxed. He's one cool
salami
dude.
Salami sandwiches? It's fine.
We're towards the end of the hour. We're almost out of time. But I just want to get from each of you, what's your biggest tip for students now who are looking forward to starting university in the fall, in the autumn? Sahib, you first.
Like, I mean, I have to say this. I don't think, millennials, maybe they wouldn't take it as, some adults would, as what Chief Justice said, like you guys quoted earlier. But it's definitely the fact that there will be failures and we have to get used to it. I mean, we're going to come as students. It's going to be a new experience. And definitely to be ready that it's not going to be perfect. I think that's the one biggest tip I could give to people that are actually going to go into uni.
Ross?
Similar to Sahib. I think just prepare yourself for there to be unexpected things that come up, and you're going to have to manage them impromptu, and you're not going to have all the answers, you're not going to do everything right, and that's fine. It's just a part of life and getting used to it.
Victoria?
My takeaway is very similar. Nothing's ever going to be 100% perfect. No one has ever gone to university 100% prepared. I think as long as you're flexible and willing to work hard, you'll in the end be fine.
It's a great note to end on. Victoria Calder, educational consultant at Bonus McFarlane Education. Ross Addison, counsellor and child and adolescent expert at Lighthouse Arabia. Well, and Sahib Ashraf, cool dude, student extraordinaire. Nothing can faze him. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.